Okay, and those who are wanting to testify have signed up on the list? All right, okay, perfect. Chairman Brad Holton, I'm going to bring the meeting to order. We're going to switch from the Board of County Commissioners to the Canyon County Board of Equalization. Idaho law provides that the Board of Equalization must examine and act upon all assessment protests filed with the board in regard to the assessed value of any property entered on the property rolls and must ensure fair market value. Taxpayers shall have the burden of proof in seeking affirmative relief to establish that the determination of the assessor is deserving of an adjustment, including any determination of assessed value. If you have filed an appeal of the assessor's determination of value or your eligibility for a tax exemption, this is your opportunity to present evidence to the board to demonstrate that the assessor's determination was incorrect. Evidence must include documentation of recent sales of properties comparable to yours. Each taxpayer will have 3 minutes to present their case unless the board grants you additional time. We expect that all parties to be cordial and respectful. If not, the board reserves the right to immediately terminate the hearing, and in such event, the participant will be deemed to have waived their right to present additional testimony, and a written decision will be issued by the board based solely on documentary evidence presented. In order to ensure that property values are correct, the county's Board of Commissioners, sitting as the County Board of Equalization, is charged with the responsibility of equalizing value. The charge to the Board of Equalization found in Idaho Code 63-502 is clear and precise. The function of the Board of Equalization shall be confined strictly to assuring that market value for assessment purposes of property has been found by the assessor. It is hereby made the duty of the Board of Equalization to enforce and compel a proper classification and assessment of all property. The role of the Board of Equalization is to assure uniform market values. In doing so, the board must ensure that it does not compromise value in an effort to either placate the assessor or the taxpayer. To do so creates nothing but unfairness in the system and shifts the burden from one taxpayer to another. It is important to note that ex parte communication, direct communication with the property owner, assessor, or assessor staff during these appeals process is considered unethical. So let's get underway by having those who want to speak sworn in, please.
Roger Craig, Holly Hopkins, Joni Irby, Tracy Golder, Nicole Conrad, Gary Thomas, Mike Thomas, Jan Thomas. If I could, everybody raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the person wanting to represent the protestant, you can come up to the table by the mic. Just a bunch of details in between. We are going to consider all of these numbers at once, correct? Because they're all similar?
Yes, but we're asking for a little bit of extended time because it'll take a little longer to explain.
Okay.
If that's okay with the board.
That's perfectly fine with me. Is that okay with the board? Go ahead and have a chair.
We were told to bring 6 copies of.
Okay. Just bring them over around and she'll take them. All right. We might.
If you do, those copies are better because they're in color and these are black.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you. Perfect. Okay. If you just state your name and address, and you can get started, and we'll give you more than the 3 minutes because you have more than one parcel. So.
Okay. My name is Michael Thomas. My address is 3843 Buckstone Avenue, Meridian. So, as I stated, I'm Michael Thomas. You can call me Mike.
Okay.
I've operated this farm for my mother since 1995. Before we begin, these 4 parcels function as one farm. They exist as separate parcels because of financing and historical transactions. But we'd appreciate the opportunity to present them together if that's okay with the board.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. My brother and I have been changing irrigation pipe on this farm since we were kids, roughly 60 years ago. This isn't a new farming venture or a tax strategy. It's the continuation of a family farming operation that began with our grandfather in the 1950s. For approximately 8 years, we were unable to irrigate because of a water rights dispute. We finally regained irrigation access in late 2024, and since then, I've been working to restore the farm to production. I'll let my brother briefly walk you through the evidence we've submitted showing the work that's been done.
Thanks, Mike. My name is Gary Thomas, 5130 Parkwood Street, Boise, Idaho. Commissioners, we're not asking you to decide the old water dispute. That dispute has been resolved. What we're asking you to decide is whether this property has been actively devoted to agriculture since irrigation access was restored. Our packet is organized to answer that question. There's a summary on the first few pages. I don't know how fast you want me to whip through this.
I've reviewed all the whole entire
If you've looked through, I'll just summarize then.
Sure.
So, summary on the first few pages. Exhibit A on page 6 has a history of the farm. This has been a family farming operation for more than 70 years. My grandfather farmed it, then my brother farmed it, as you can see in Exhibit C on page 14, producing alfalfa and cattle until irrigation was lost. After approximately 8 years without practical irrigation, water was restored in late 2024. That's Exhibit D on page 16. And what happened next wasn't waiting. It was work. The next section documents restoration of the irrigation system itself. Simply restoring access to irrigation water didn't restore the farm overnight. Irrigation lines had to be repaired, the pump system had to be restored, expenses were incurred to make the system operational again. Exhibits E through I document those activities through photographs, receipts, pump records, power bills, fuel expenses. The next section shows what happened in the fields, with photos in Exhibit J showing the progress of the rehabilitation. Because the land had gone approximately 8 years without irrigation, goathead weeds had become established. Rather than immediately planting alfalfa into an unsuitable field, my brother followed the advice of an experienced farmer and began repeated cycles of irrigation and tillage to germinate and destroy the accumulated weed seeds. Exhibit K explains why those rehabilitation activities were necessary before an organic alfalfa crop could be established. And as already mentioned, those activities required labor, fuel, equipment, irrigation power, and continuing field work. Exhibits L, M, and N provide additional evidence that this is an active farm, detailing alfalfa seed acquisition, fencing work, and preparation for livestock grazing. One question that arose during the appeal process was whether this property was simply being held for development. You can actually see the photo that the assessor's office has put up. We want to be completely candid about that. Years ago, our family sold some absolutely wonderful view lots and had plans for additional development. Those plans expired in 2012. Before, during, and after that period, these parcels remained part of our family's farming operation. We farmed everything that we didn't sell. In fact, our company is called Diamond L Development because Diamond L was our grandfather's registered cattle brand. We're not asking the board to overlook the absence of a harvested crop. We're asking the board to recognize that the documented rehabilitation of this farm is itself ongoing agricultural activity. Thank you very much. Both my brother and I are open for questions.
Sure.
I don't have any questions, Mr. Chairman.
The water right was groundwater right. It was not surface water that you lost, that you regained. It was unclear because you showed a pumping station that looked like there was a well casing coming up inside the building.
It's surface water.
It is a surface
from
water.
Wilder irrigation.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you still enjoy water rights on all of the ground from wild irrigation?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And they were all essentially lost during the dispute.
Okay. Oh, I'd like to know about the dispute, but I saw that there was a non-disclosure on the settlement.
Honestly, we would love to talk about it, but we could paint broad strokes, but
yeah.
Well, 20, 25 years ago, I was part of an ad hoc committee with three other commissioners who were redoing the zoning ordinance.
Okay.
And there were 15 or 20 of us, and we met in some room upstairs once a week and talked about, or once a month, whatever it was. And I can remember one of the commissioners, I can't remember which one it was, and he gave this offhand comment that's evidently very popular throughout the West. I hadn't heard it before. He says, in Idaho, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had no idea how correct he was. But yeah, there was a big thing. Well, we spent over $100,000 in lawyers' fees.
Yeah.
And I think that we can say that despite the NDA. And we'll have it paid off in 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I have been the mayor of a past city who had to institute a irrigation district, and it was very sad. It was very sad. The older people died, and he moved off, and nobody took care of the water, but all the new people wanted the water when they wanted the water and created fighting.
Yeah.
Very true. All right. Any other questions? Okay. Staff, would you make your presentation, please?
Oh, don't you have to get those?
Oh, sorry. No, okay. Excuse my reach.
Give them all. That's for him.
You want two of them there?
No, this is a different PL number. Oh, because one of them's mine. But that's all right. I'm missing one.
Oh, for the love of Pete, I just about broke up a family here.
Thank you.
I think it's two of mine, but that's all right.
All right.
Okay.
Pardon me. Every single photo is down below. Yeah, because that's the down below. The four separate parts, they have separate.
Where shall we begin?
My name is Joni Irby. I'm one of the rural appraisers. Let's begin with protest number 26079 belonging to parcel 36955000-0.
Okay.
This is 52.18 acres. Primarily, it indicates that it's been used for livestock, not crop production. I don't really need to go into too many details on this. I have historical pictures showing that it has not been devoted to livestock. I don't believe that there's water that goes for this parcel for irrigation. at this point, I was out there. I've been out there quite a few times. The last time I was out there was 3 days ago. 3 days ago, there was incomplete fencing. No greenery for any animals to eat, and no electricity or power to a electrical fence to keep animals in. According to Google, this Google Earth, this property has not had cows on it since about 2015. I understand that they've had an issue with their water, and it's devastating. This parcel does not need water and has not been devoted to ag. If you'd like, we can go to the next protest number unless you have questions.
I have one technicality question. I show a power pole on one of these pictures. Is that power pole on the subject property, or is that just adjacent to it?
I believe that is adjacent to it.
Okay.
That is right at the corner of the property.
Is the power pole in the total on our property?
The power comes from the house up above. We don't have electricity down on the lower 52-acre parcel.
Okay.
It all originates in the shop where the electric fence machine is.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Which is the red parcel up here, if you see.
The red parcel.
Yeah, the red outlined.
Okay. All right.
Protest number 26080. Parcel number 3695600000. This is a 5-acre piece. This does have the house on the property. And again, I understand that they had a water dispute. They had been given leeway on that because of the litigation. According to their package, they turned in. The settlement was signed on June 2nd, 2024. That is on page 4, the top line of their evidence. So since June of 24, 25, 26, there still has not been any crop. I understand that he's tilling it, tilling down the weeds, watering it, tilling down the weeds, watering it. It has not produced a crop. When I was out there Friday, the ground looked really nice. There was no seed planted, no irrigation pipes for watering on the property, sprinklers. It was just very nicely tilled land.
Little did we know we were going to get an inch and a half of rain.
Yeah.
Custom ordered in from above.
Jesus, okay. We're just plowing.
All right. And that's on ending in four zeros with one space, right? That's
correct.
Okay. All right. And show me the overall. Oh, I have it here on this page.
I have my 8-1.
5-6. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. It's the red colored lot on that.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
The next protest number is protest 26080, parcel number 3695600000. Commonly referred to as the well house parcel, pump house. Does have a pump on it for a pump house. It does look very nice and tilled over, but again, there was no sprinklers on it. No water irrigation. And I believe in their packet, I'll find that page, it did say that they were still working as of June of this year. June 22nd of this year, they were still working on repairing the pump house, the well house. So without that, those repairs to water the property, no seeds in the ground. Oh, pardon me, that's protest number 26081, which is parcel 36950010-0.
Okay. And that's the pump house down there.
That is the pump house.
Okay.
Where the pump house is located.
Thank you.
I also did speak with Mr. Thomas about this because this parcel is not considered contiguous to the other three parcels. And it is less than 5 acres. And I did say that it would not qualify for an ag exemption unless there was sales of $100 or $1,000 or more a year. At that point, a couple of weeks later, he did produce a lease from his mother to himself, stating that he was going to be growing alfalfa and having livestock. I do have a copy of that lease if you'd like it.
That's outside of our packet, right?
That is outside of your packet. I do have a copy of it if you'd like to see the lease.
Sure. Yes, please.
It's also noted that he is tilling the ground to plant alfalfa. This is not winter wheat. This is an alfalfa crop.
Okay.
Alfalfa, not winter wheat. It's alfalfa.
Do you have any questions on that one?
Help me out here. There's the big one. Where's this lot on that?
The one on your left, in your left hand, is the well house, and that is located.
It's not on this page, right?
Yes.
It is on this
page. It is on that page. It's purple.
Oh, it's in purple.
Yep.
I don't like purple.
I will remember that for future colorations. No purple.
Okay. See, my brain just completely didn't take that in. All right. Messing with me. All right. Thank you.
Next protest number 26082.
Okay.
Parcel number 36955016-0. I commonly refer to this as the large parcel. It is 9.65 acres. It is divided with a ditch on the towards the left-hand side, the east-hand side. And the historical pictures, you can see the ones that I took just on Friday, mm-hmm. 3 days ago, that the portion east of the ditch has not been tilled, still has weeds. There isn't any crop grown on that. The portion east of the ditch, if you look through the historical pictures, he has been on his tractor mowing down the foxtails. But 3 days ago, it was still the debris from the foxtails were on the ground. There are sprinklers on this parcel. This is the only parcel that does have sprinklers. However, they are not connected. And there is no crop being grown.
Okay. sorry, you didn't give any specificity to the ground being tilled.
There is the weeds have been knocked down. Maybe they've been plowed under, but the last time on June 18th, he was on his tractor knocking down the foxtails. And then on June 26th, when I was out there, it was cleaned up. It doesn't look like the other ones. It's not ready for planting, nor has it been planted.
Okay.
Okay. So as far as the assessor's office is concerned, it is not actively devoted to agriculture.
Okay. And all of these lots were encumbered by the loss of the water right during those years?
Except for the large parcel down at the bottom, parcel 369555000-0. That does not, historically, that has not had water on it, as far as I can tell. Through Google Earth and historical pictures taken by the assessor's office, it has not been watered.
He said we never watered down below.
Right.
You and I change pipe down there all the time.
Yeah, years and years.
Yeah.
Years ago.
When.
Go ahead.
That was it. I was just wondering when was the last time there was pipes down on the property. I hadn't. Through Google Earth, I haven't been able to see any pipes down on the property, on that parcel.
Mr. Chairman, I've never seen this document before or the language in it from the letter that the assessor sent to the property owners. What is the test of being part of a bona fide agricultural enterprise look like?
That is our ag exemption. We send those all out. That is an ag exemption form that is sent out to people that are requesting ag exemption.
It's the following.
Oh, this form is Idaho Code 63604.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you're looking for?
Okay, so it's the Idaho Code. Okay.
Idaho State Code, yes.
Another question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So if this was a never before, like they just came over on a wagon and took over this piece of property, and we had this process in place, he would not get an ag exemption until it was actually growing a crop, if I read this?
That is correct.
And the situation we have here is we tried to understand that they had the issue with the water. So I think we gave quite the forgiveness on this. I mean, this has been a several-year process, and we understand that. We really do.
But there gets a point where, once again, in the assessor's office, we have to treat everybody equally. And I think the water issue was resolved 2 years ago. In most places, we would expect some kind of agricultural activity on the property. That, it makes it very hard for us to grant an ag exemption or an ag value to someone when they're not doing this. We have to hold everybody pretty much to the same standards. And that's, we try to be consistent with what we do with that. And so, this has been, I think this has been settled for almost 2 years now. So there's that room that we try to give the people the benefit of the doubt.
So they were without water. They settled in 24 in the middle of the summer. They made settlement. So they would have had water delivery available theoretically in 25.
Yes, 24.
Yes. Okay. Part 24. I know they had issues with pumps and things like that. I mean, like in the bottom piece, there was plenty of opportunity for the livestock out there in the spring for dry grazing, and that hasn't been done. I think they've had opportunity to probably clean this up earlier, expecting to grow a crop out there instead of waiting 2 years later to do that. That's the assessor's opinion, but once again, we have to treat everybody equal. We don't make those decisions. We follow this, and we try to be very consistent with the way we treat everybody across the county.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So are we here because we're trying to get the exemption and it was denied, or the exemption existed and has now been pulled?
The exemption has been was in place because of the litigation, and
gave him a couple of years.
Gave him a couple of years.
And
finally, it's like, you know, we have to, at some point, we have to enforce our standards that we do to everybody else.
So I pulled it for this year because it has not been producing a crop.
But it was on the last couple of years.
Yes, sir. So we've been given the benefit of the doubt, given leniency for quite a few years, actually, because of the issues going on out there with no crop, no cattle, no livestock at all.
Do you have any rebuttal to what staff said? Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. I'll just kind of go in the same order from the beginning as she presented it. There's actually lots of greenery on that lower section. We have forests, different areas of forests that have a lot of bushes and trees that are green year round, and the cattle eat a lot of that. We also have abundant, I've always called it bitter brush. It's cattle love it, and it's super nutritious. I don't know if we had pictures of that lower section in the spring and fall, when it is ultra green. And I'll mention to the right, it doesn't always look like that. And an example is on the map. And it's not really on the map, but it's east of Fish Road. So the very right-hand sliver of the map is a 40-acre section that is identical topography as our lower section, and it's owned by the feedlot above. And for 2 or 3 weeks out of the year, they put a few dozen cattle down there to munch the grass down, and then it's vacant the rest of the year, and they qualify for the dry grazing ag exemption.
So if we're comparing apples to apples, do they have a in-shape fence that holds the livestock in, and do you have a fence that's fully operational? Because if we're going to start comparing...
So, yes. No, these are good questions, Commissioner. Currently, there has been a crew coming out and repairing. We have more than a mile of fence that has been repaired, and there is still fence to repair, and so it's not quite ready. But we have an agreement with this gentleman who operates cattle and wants to use our land for grazing. And I don't know why he hasn't done it yet, because we do have this agreement. I mean, he's paid us in kind and in work. And so...
When I was reading through the documentation, there wasn't really a document that showed that agreement. Is there... Or is it a gentleman's agreement?
It's a gentleman's handshake agreement. There is a permission agreement that we included in one of our exhibits.
I saw that.
Because he said, hey, the neighbors are... Let's not go into the dispute, Gary. Let's not go into the dispute. Some of the neighbors are complaining that these strangers are coming on the property. And, okay. And so we wrote that up so that they could say, it's okay. We're working and fence repairs are ongoing. And it will be electrified the way it's been electrified for 60 years.
Okay.
And he's performed well over $1,000 worth of rent services, ag services, repairing the fence and providing hayseed.
Okay.
Keep going.
Continuing on. The just a comment on the still repairing the pump house. That's not the case. The pump house was energized and working, and a valve failed. And that receipt, I think, is included in the packet. So that's a new thing, not that we're not continuing. Yeah, and that's the pump house the pump house parcel. And then regarding the pump house parcel, the 2.16 acre parcel, it has always been considered contiguous in the past, and it does produce more than $1,000 of alfalfa yearly. I lost my train of thought. And all parcels do have sprinklers at the edge of the field. It's not customary to put sprinklers out prior to seeding. And as the pictures show, two of the three fields were totally ready. I was finishing up the 9.65 acre parcel, and I was actually out there until about 10 minutes before that giant storm hit Friday night, and so didn't quite finish up, but then was out the next day doing more and expect to be seeding all three fields and then utilizing all the sprinkler pipes and main lines that are in the fields at the edges of the field as soon as the seed is down and then harrowed in.
Okay.
And then commenting about the treating people equally, when we met a week or so ago, he made that same comment to me, and I apologize, I don't remember
Roger.
Your name. But and I told him, I said, I commute from Meridian and drive to Wilder daily, and I've seen people within the last couple weeks seeding, and so I asked, did those people also lose their ag exemption because they didn't have seed in the ground? And he answered that their situation may be different. And I felt like ours is the one that's really different. We were robbed of our right to continue our farming operation years ago, and are finally back to this close to being up and running, and then have this be revoked from us, and then it has not been 2 years for access of water. Yes, when the agreement was reached, I took that paperwork in and showed it to Joni, and she changed our assessment at that time, but then the other party did not follow through, and the very first time, only because we had connected to a different locale, on August 18th of 2024 was the first day I ran water, and that is the end of the season, and so very difficult to accomplish a lot at that point. And that was only in one field on the 5-acre parcel. We didn't have water until 2025, later in on the other parcels, and we still will produce crops and graze cattle in 2026.
Okay. So let me ask you an operational question. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have every intent and purpose to order water on from Wilder Irrigation on your parcels between now and when the water goes out of the ditch to raise some form of crop?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Brooks. Mr. Chairman, Roger, correct me if I'm wrong here in my understanding, but this year's assessed value is representative for the year 2025, correct?
Would be January 1st of this year, yes, sir.
So as of that date, but it's basically like going backwards a little bit?
No, the value, the current value is for 2026 without the ag exemption.
But it's as of January 1st. I guess I'm saying it wrong, but I think I get what you're saying. So all of the activity that the property owners have participated in has been after January 1st. So this would be really great evidence for getting the homeowners exemption next year, or the ag exemption, sorry, for next year. But because it was after January 1st, it's not applicable to this year?
The deadline was the 15th. We usually give everybody, we're very generous, more than some counties. We go, if you get it done through even the hearings, if we went out there and they had cattle, and we would usually settle these. And that was one of the other issues when he told me that whole bottom part is green. I'm like, well, then graze it. Because the water wasn't the reason you didn't graze that for the last few years. That's I don't know the reasons why they didn't, but that is correct. The cattle company next door grazes. If they can graze that, they could have grazed all that. There was no reason for that not to be grazed, to my knowledge. But we, like I said, we try to give them the benefit of the doubt over the years. And I understand that water, there's nothing they could do, and we get that. But it's been a couple years. And yes, Commissioner Brooks, to answer your question, if they were to farm it and get it as operational, the agriculture value or exemption would be no question next year. It would be pretty much done. It's just right now, mowing, and I understand they're trying to do that. And for our criteria, and once again, we're in that precarious situation. We have to treat everybody relatively equal. We've had a few of these. We can't grant it on that. We don't feel like they have met the criteria for that. And I think the bottom piece is a very good example. There's no reason that that wasn't fenced, excuse me, and there wasn't cows out there for the last few years, from what he's told me how it is green.
Setting aside that you've delayed pulling this exemption for the last couple of years, is this similar or too different than the one that we just did a couple of days ago where we told them by the end of the year they got to do something?
This is a little bit different because those guys did farm last year and they had been farming it every year up until their last crop of, what was it, June 2025? So that was different. This one hasn't been farmed.
And it was planted.
And we just said he had to pull a crop off. This one hasn't been farmed in nine years.
9+ years.
Now, if you take away the water fighting years, it's still been sitting there for close to two.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
So the assessor's office agrees we are plowing weeds. Plowing weeds is the accepted official way to return a field infested with goathead weeds to a productive organic field. Could we have planted yet last year with chemicals? Oh, yeah. Historically, we have never used chemicals in the 60 years. You know, I mean, fertilizer, yes. But our hay is highly regarded. Mike has sold hay to racehorses and, I mean, people who show horses who really value their hay. And Mike produces a very, very good hay crop. The fact that they say last year he was plowing shows, yes, this is an active farm. They agree with us.
I would like to rebuke that because Idaho State Code 63604, paragraph 1A, says that it is to be used to produce a field crop such as grains, feed, corn. Producing crops or mowing down crops is not an agricultural endeavor.
So this farm was destroyed, and we are rehabilitating it actively at great expense monetarily and labor, and putting our hearts into it, if that counts for anything. Trying to plant alfalfa prematurely would be a waste of seed, a waste of time, a waste of water, a waste of everything. We're following accepted agricultural procedures farming this ground and have been for a long, long, long time.
Mr. Chairman, the problem is the language that the Idaho State Legislature has put in place. It's nothing new to anyone that has listened to my comments over 3.5 years. I don't exactly agree with the Idaho Legislature very often, and this would be another one of them. But I guess in this case, for me, I can't get beyond used to produce for grazing. Nothing was grazed. I don't know how to get there. Unless nobody's made the argument for it, but. And technically, this could have been pulled years ago. That's kind of the problem. It's a no good deed goes unpunished right now. Mr. Chairman, I move that we take about a 8-minute recess.
All right, I would second the motion. Motion's been made and seconded for a recess for approximately 8 minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's be in recess. Thank you.